from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
We are finally giving these wonderful Americans the right to try. Thousands of terminally ill Americans will finally have the help, the hope, and the fighting chance. And I think it's going to be better than chance that they will be cured, that they will be helped.
That's President Donald Trump. He signed the Right to Try legislation. The new law gives terminally ill patients a chance to try drugs that have not completed FDA testing. Happy Friday. I'm producer Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's a pleasure to be with you here today. And another month of strong hiring drove the nation's unemployment rate down to 3.8%, nearing the level last seen in 1969. We'll talk with Congressman Bradley Byrne of Alabama in just a moment. And an important victory for free speech in Alabama. Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, will be here to discuss a recent court ruling against the Southern Poverty Law Center. And between increased violence in our public schools and growing liberal agendas in American classrooms, experts report a surge in homeschooling as parents seek safer options for their children. Christopher Chin, president of Homeschool Louisiana, will join us to discuss the growing trend. And of course, later in the show, we will take your calls. Well, as I said, President Trump signed a bill Wednesday allowing terminally ill patients access to experimental medical treatments not yet approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Dubbed Right to Try, the law's passage was a major priority for President Donald Trump when he was campaigning and Vice President Pence, as well as congressional Republicans. Joining us now is Congressman Bradley Byrne. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Alabama, serves on the House Armed Services Committee, and also serves on the House Education and Workforce Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Russ, it's good to be with you this afternoon.
So are you in the district?
I am in the district. We've been here all week, and we've had great visits and meetings around the district. People down here feel good about our economy. They feel good about the new direction for the country, and they want us to keep at it.
Well, I saw you. Donald Trump isn't the only one that tweets. I saw a few of your tweets, and you were definitely supportive in advocating the legislation on the act that returns treatment decisions back to patients, giving them the right to make health care choices that could save their lives. Give us your thoughts on this.
Well, first of all, it's just common sense. The people who are eligible for this are terminally ill. They have no hope without some access to these experimental drugs. And the only drugs that they can take or use under this particular law are ones that have already passed the phase one approval process with the Federal Food and Drug Administration. So they've already determined that they're not toxic drugs, that they don't have harmful side effects. So why not let them do that if there's any chance that these drugs will save their lives? The president called for this in the State of the Union address. The Senate had already passed it. It just made sense we would bring it up and pass it, and we did. Now, I was disappointed that we had so many Democrats that did not vote for it. I really thought it was so common sense that this is one that we would just blow out of the water with a huge bipartisan vote. We didn't have that. We did have some Democrats that voted for it. But thankfully, we got it to the president's desk, and 2 days ago, he signed it, and it's now the law of the land.
And the bill essentially expands right-to-try laws that are already existing in some 38 states. Isn't that right?
That's correct. The vast majority of states already have this on the books. So why wouldn't the federal government bring ourselves in line with that many states that have done something, as I say, that's just pure common sense?
And of course, the Democrats, we continue to see them resist at every turn. And if you just depended on the mainstream media, it would appear that Congress isn't getting much done. But that is far from the truth. You all have been very busy, haven't you?
Very busy. We passed out of the House this Congress almost 500 bills. And a number of bills, as you know, have gone to the president. He signed them. We passed, before we left last week, we passed the National Defense Authorization Act that we pass every year that authorizes the defense of the United States for the coming fiscal year. We passed that with over 350 votes, so it had a huge bipartisan majority. And I feel confident that there will be a similar version passed over the Senate. We'll go to conference, work it out, and it'll go to the president before the end of the year. We got spending bills coming up that we'll be taking up that I know will ultimately be enacted and sent to the president. We've got an act that's going to be brought up that's going to be part of the president's infrastructure ask on water projects around the country. So there's a lot good going on. And you're right, if you're dependent upon the mainstream media, you would never know that President Trump and Congress are working together to get all of these things done.
Now, on the right to try, there were some that weren't supportive, and let's just take a look. What are some of the downsides to it? Some say right to try could dissuade eligible people from entering hospice. You know, Congressman, back in the day, years ago, I was a hospice chaplain, and it's an amazing organization. I believe there are way more benefits to right to try than on the downside, right?
Absolutely. Now, I'm a huge supporter of hospice. My father went through hospice, and it was a truly humane thing to put somebody through at the end of their life because they were in loving embrace of the people that cared the most about them and the caregivers that were involved in it as well. But we believe in choices in America, and if you would rather try an experimental drug than go into a hospice, what's wrong with that? Isn't that the sort of thing we want to give people the freedom to do in this country?
Yeah, and didn't we watch with great pain a couple of these families now over in the United Kingdom where they were held hostage by the government, where the government said, no, you can't go do these things. I would think there was great motivation there.
I would hope so. And, you know, this sort of gets us over into the debate about a single-payer health plan for America where the government gets to make all of our health care decisions for us. I don't think that's a good thing either. We have a great healthcare system in America. It's not perfect. We got some things we need to do to make it better. But this healthcare system in America gives us choices, gives us alternatives. And then we as healthcare consumers, we as citizens of the United States that have basic freedoms, we make up our minds what's best for us at that point in our life. And if it's my loved one that has a terminally ill condition and there's some opportunity out there that we can give them with a drug, then that's a family decision that I would hope that we would be able to make without the government saying, no, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. And Congressman, today we're learning that employers have added 233,000 jobs in May, up from 159,000 in April. The Labor Department made this report today, and the unemployment rate fell to an 18-year low. And if you look at the numbers closely, actually closer to the rates of 1969. Aren't these signs that the economy is really starting to come into play here? We're seeing our investments do better, our IRAs are doing better, that business owners are feeling confident about investing again in their own people and in their own business.
Absolutely. This is an incredibly good jobs report. Also in there, by the way, is a 12-month reading on what wage increases are looking like. It's almost 3%. We haven't seen that in a long time. So that's not just more jobs, but people that are working are making more money. So this is an across-the-board good report. Now, we still have other improvements we want to make to the economy, but that tax reform bill we passed last December that President Trump signed, the deregulation activities that he and we with him have undertaken, I'm talking to business people all over the country. They're investing in their businesses again. They're building things. They're hiring more people. They're investing in the people that work for them. This is a terrific time for the American consumer and the American worker. And I think we should celebrate that. You won't hear that on the national news media.
No.
Because they don't want to give a positive spin to anything that President Trump is doing. But that clearly is the case. So people in America should be optimistic and upbeat. And as you look at a lot of these public opinion polls, people are beginning to get more optimistic, more upbeat, more confident. And it's sort of like the national news media can keep saying what they're saying, but the American people are getting it in their pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think, I mean, most of the American people know the gig's up. They really know what's going on, and they're more discerning in the news information they're consuming, and they are doing a lot of their own homework, at least the people I know. people know the business I'm in and the position I am in, and they're asking me all the, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So that tells me that they're digging in and learning on their own and not depending on the mainstream media. And one of the things, Congressman, that I was interested in on this jobs report is that a number of the part-time workers who would prefer full-time jobs is down 6% from a year ago, which means that businesses are converting some part-timers to full-time work, and that says a lot about where people's minds are who have their own company or whatnot.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that were left in part-time positions prior to President Trump coming to office because there was so much uncertainty out there. And you give the business community certainty, and they're going to start hiring more people, but also taking the people they had on part-time because they weren't sure and putting them on full-time jobs. I was visiting a business in my district yesterday, and the man that runs the business looked me in the eye and said, look, just give me certainty. I can handle just about anything. But waking up every day and there's a new regulation, or waking up every day and there's a new tax, or waking up every day and there's a new something out there from the government, I can't run my business on that basis. But if you give me the certainty that we're not going to have this over-regulation, you're not going to overtax me, but you're going to give me the certainty of what's going to happen in the American economy, I will go invest both in my business, but more importantly, in the people that work for me. And that is absolutely good for everybody in America.
And I know you're on the Armed Services Committee. Just real quickly, we're about out of time, but it looks like the meeting with North Korea is back on the table. And as I have said before, this appears just classic Donald Trump, the art of the deal, doing what he has to do, and he knows how to play the games behind the scenes and what's really going on to get, you know, the ball over the line.
Absolutely. I mean, in the past, when the North Koreans played the game like they've been playing with us, we just kind of play along with them. And President Trump saying, nope, I'm not playing your game. We're going to have a real negotiation. If you're not willing to really negotiate with us, we're not going to have some phony summit. But when he called their bluff, what happened? They came back to the table. They changed their tune. Now we're going to have the summit. I think it's a good thing, and I think President Trump deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, so we'll be seeing what's going on there. And when I was in Kansas, I got to know Mike Pompeo quite well, and I know he's going to do a job there as Secretary of State. And he also knows he knows the games that are being played as well.
You know, Mike served in the House with us, as you know very well. He was number one in his class at West Point. I mean, this is a very smart guy, and they're not going to pull anything over on Mike Pompeo. I have 100% confidence in him and what he's doing.
Well, Congressman Bradley Byrne, thank you so much. Appreciate the work you're doing, and I know you're busy there. Folks, think you're taking vacation time when you're not in D.C., but I know that's not true. You're out meeting with your constituents, and thank you for serving.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
All right. Congressman Bradley Byrne of Alabama. Good to get an update here as the members of Congress are back in their districts. Well, coming up next, the Southern Poverty Law Center's attempt to silence State Supreme Court Justice Tom Parker for his criticism of same-sex marriage. Well, it's failed. Liberty Counsel's Matt Staver is going to be here next when we return. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. All of this great content is on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins. You can follow me at R. Jones Reports. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. to watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. It's Friday. I'm producer Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Good to be with you here today. Well, the Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission has agreed to settle Liberty Counsel's lawsuit on behalf of Alabama Supreme Court Justice Tom Parker with a permanent injunction, which will bar the use of judicial ethics canons to censor judges' public comments. The JIC will also pay $100,000 compensation to Liberty Counsel for legal fees. With us now is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of the Liberty Counsel. Matt, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to come on. Anytime there's a victory against SPLC, we like to celebrate those. What exactly did the Southern Poverty Law Center claim?
Yeah, this is all due to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Back in 2015, Justice Tom Parker, a justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, was on the AFR radio network, and he was being interviewed about the Supreme Court decision on marriage from 2015. And after that, the SPLC filed an ethics complaint against him with the Judicial Inquiry Commission. The actual code of ethics up until now basically said that judges, all judges in Alabama, could never speak on any legal issue that was pending anywhere in the United States. It's so broad, it would have prevented judges who wanted to teach law school students at night about cases that may be currently at the U.S. Supreme Court. They couldn't comment on it. It would be an ethical violation. It's unconstitutional. The problem is that the JIC, which receives these complaints, has been in league with the Southern Poverty Law Center. And when the SPLC wanted to take out judges, they would file complaints, and oftentimes the JIC would file charges. And when they filed a charge, that judge would be automatically removed with no due process. That judge would have to spend thousands of dollars typically to defend themselves, hundreds of thousands of dollars in some case, and be off the bench for several years, and that would ruin their career. And that's what they wanted to do with Justice Tom Parker. Why? Because he's a constitutionalist, because he believes that the Constitution ought to be interpreted according to its intent. And, of course, that doesn't meet with the SPLC agenda. So that's how this case started. They wanted to remove him from the bench. We ended up representing Justice Parker. Instead of just being on the defense, we went on the offense. We filed a lawsuit claiming that this rule was unconstitutional. And now, after going through several years of litigation, the judge ultimately agreed with us, and now the JIC, the Judicial Inquiry Commission, has agreed to have this permanently enjoined. In other words, no longer ever being able to use these as weapons again against Justice Parker or any other judge in Alabama. And we can give all the thanks to the Southern Poverty Law Center, because as a result of that complaint, it has now backfired tremendously against the SPLC and benefited Justice Tom Parker and other judges in Alabama.
Well, Matt, as you know, pride comes before the fall. And I am just astonished at SPLC's sense of entitlement, their arrogance, and these lawsuits that seem to think that they are some purveyors of ultimate truth. And you prove that wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they have so much of the liberal fake news media in their corner, and they promote this false hate group narrative, and no one knows that more than Family Research Council, because that resulted in an attempted mass murder against the good employees and staff of FRC because of the Southern Poverty Law Center. But they also have tried to remove judges in Alabama. Particularly, they went after Chief Justice Roy Moore, and then they went after Justice Tom Parker, and they thought they could remove both of them. You know what? Next week, Justice Tom Parker is running for former Chief Justice of Roy Moore's position. He's running for the seat of the Chief Justice of the state of Alabama. He would be a great candidate because he believes in the Constitution. He knows the law more than anyone I've ever been around. He just really is someone who you want on the bench. These are the kind of judges that you want judging according to the Constitution, judging according to law, digging into the original meaning of the Constitution in the text. And that's exactly what the SPLC doesn't want, because if you read the Constitution, it's not going to come out the way they want it with abortion or same-sex marriage or some of their other liberal agenda. And that's why they hated Tom Parker so much. Well, the thing is that they started this fight, and you know what? We finished it. And now that that provision that they have used for many years to hang over the heads of judges that they don't like, to silence them, to intimidate them, that is now gone. It's unconstitutional, and it can no longer be used to intimidate any judge, particularly Justice Parker.
I've been in this industry for over 40 years now, Matt, and it has been my discovery that conservatives are way more tolerant than most on the left, even though may have very strong convictions, but can stand and listen to your argument, give you the right to express your argument and still disagree. But those same liberties aren't offered from the other side.
That's right. I mean, and that's what we see not only with the SPLC, but with the radical left today. They might talk about tolerance, they might talk about free speech, but they really don't mean tolerance. They're tolerant only for views that agree with them. They want free speech only for views that they agree with. Free speech really is for all of us, or it's for none of us. And conservatives are more than willing to allow the other side to speak and have the freedom to speak, as long as we can have the freedom to speak. And frankly, the more that the other side speaks, the more ridiculous they sound anyway. So they really make our arguments the more they speak. But the SPLC, they literally want to silence people. They want to intimidate people. They tried to do that to Justice Tom Parker. For a year, a solid year, the Judicial Inquiry Commission did an investigation threatening to remove Parker. That is history. Justice Parker prevailed.
Well, congratulations, Matt. Thank you for taking time and sharing that good news and that update on Washington Watch. We appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. Bravo. Excellent job. It's good to report the victories when they come. Well, coming up next, homeschooling is on the rise, seeing huge numbers of parents taking back control of the education of their children. Christopher Chin, president of Homeschool Louisiana, is going to be here in just a little bit to talk about the reasons why parents are homeschooling, taking their kids out of the public schools here in the United States. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
It's a half past the hour on this Friday afternoon. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Washington, D.C.-based Family Research Council. It's great to be with you. Always a pleasure and an honor. Well, with the rising tide of liberalism in American public schools, a new wave of parents are choosing homeschooling in the wake of the increased violence and shootings in our nation's schools. On the front page of the Washington Times, the headline reads, "Educational Decline, Homeschooling Surges as Parents Seek Safer Options for Children." With us now is Christopher Chin, president of Homeschool Louisiana. He's mentioned in the article and wanted to bring him on the program today. Christopher, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks so much, Russ.
Good to talk with you. You're down in the New Orleans area and have been involved in homeschooling movement for quite some time. Explain this trend that we're seeing and what you're seeing down there.
Well, it's interesting. Specifically talking about this, the mass shootings and such, I, as I explained in the article, is that I don't think that was a point where people, when they saw that, they would pull their children out and start homeschooling their kids. Because I mean, it's definitely more complex than that. But with the aspect of the bullying, the school violence, sexual assault, misconduct, and which is fairly, I hate to say it, but it's common. The mass shootings was sort of a tipping point where, again, as I said, it's a straw that breaks the camel's back.
Exactly. And then as we talked earlier today, I think a lot of parents have just had enough with what they're seeing in the homeschooling, and the shootings have just been another reason to help parents. What are you seeing there? Is the phone been ringing more? Are you getting more emails, people inquiring? Because I think there's probably a lot of parents out there that may be intimidated at the thought of homeschooling and teaching their own children.
Yeah, and that's interesting because, you know, when we first got into homeschooling, you know, we weren't those pioneers back, you know, 30 years ago. We were, you know, homeschooling was probably the last thing that we considered for our children, but because of situations, you know, being down in New Orleans and dealing with the after effects, you know, the aftermath of Katrina, you know, homeschooling was our option. And so I'm thankful that, you know, we have that freedom to, you know, to home educate our children as we so fit, you know, see fit. And, you know, but specifically on that aspect of safety, that, you know, our children, you know, we desire what's best for our kids. Every good parent, you know, desires that. And so homeschooling, you know, again, wasn't our first choice, but it definitely has turned out to be the best choice.
And the reports are saying that in 2017, the U.S. Department of Education report estimated 1.69 million homeschool students from ages 5 to 17 in the spring of 2016. So that sounds like quite a few folks, and I would imagine getting those numbers aren't all that easy.
No, it's interesting because, again, you know, I've been in homeschooling for about the last 11 years, and so I've been in some type of leadership role for about seven, and you know, just having it on my radar, it's something that I'm more in tune to. And so the aspect of kind of watching those numbers, in fact, the number that really kind of jumps out for me is that in the Louisiana, the state, if you homeschool, you have to register. So you have to file a certain form with the state. It's pretty simple, but I mean, you just have to let them know that you're homeschooling so your kids aren't truant. And so in 2011, it was like 19,000 kids, like 19 and some change. And so the most recent study, it's, you know, in our state, it's at 30,000 and I think 134.
Wow.
And so you're talking a huge jump. And so for every state that I know of that requires some type of registration, the numbers I see, you know, aren't 1% and 2%, you know, over the last 5 to 7 years. It's 25% to 200%. And but because I think part of it is obviously the violence, but for us, it was seeing people who have homeschooled and seeing how they did it, and it became something familiar. In other words, it wasn't so foreign. And so it was something where, you know, people aren't going to do what they are uncomfortable doing, you know, specifically teaching. And when you see parents and families and support groups that are kind of walking you through the process, the barriers to entry come down pretty quickly.
And I was reading that homeschooling only became quote unquote legal, which just blows my mind, in Louisiana in 1980. So it hasn't been legal. It confuses my brain to think that homeschooling would be considered illegal, but it became legal in 1980, which isn't that long ago.
Yeah, in fact, it's funny, is we were one of the we were on the forefront of homeschooling becoming legal. I think Iowa was the last state to allow homeschooling, and that was in 1991. I mean, think about the 1991 in Iowa allowed basically parents the opportunity to educate their own children. And so even around the globe, and with it's become a global movement as well, is that there are many countries that outlaw homeschooling, but that the tide has definitely started to change, where even in Russia and Brazil and a lot of other countries, they're starting to consider and have allowed some more movement.
Chris, we're up against a break. Can you hold on and come back? Can you hold on for just a minute?
I sure can. I'd be more happy.
All right. We're talking with Chris Chin, president of the Homeschool Louisiana, talking about the rise of homeschooling. Parents are seeking better options, bringing their children back home. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Glad you're along on this Friday afternoon. We're talking with Chris Chin. He's with Homeschool Louisiana. We're talking about the rise of homeschooling and the number of parents that are seeking safer options for their children. They're looking for better avenues to protect their children from the growing liberalism that's in our nation's schools. Chris, thanks for hanging on and coming back. Wanted to ask you a quick question. We may have some young parents out there or some older parents out there that, that have thought about homeschooling, but they're scared to death of it. Where do they start? What pointers might you have for them?
Well, it's interesting where, you know, we do encounter a lot of requests, such as we're starting this process, we're trying to get on board on how to start. And so one of the things I think that we've discovered is, first of all, find out what the natural gifting of your child is. It's interesting where, God has given us children and they're all different. We know that. Even though you raise them in the same environment, in the home, they have different strengths, different weaknesses, different personalities. And so, in the same vein, they're going to have different giftings, different educational bents. And so part of it is finding out, what do they love to do? And the other one is find out what they're good at. And so when you find out what they love to do and what they're good at, where they intersect is, what I like to call their kind of spiritual and natural gifting. And, from there, once you kind of know what they're good at, what they love to do, also find out how they learn. And, are they auditory learners? Are they visual learners? Are they kinesthetic learners? Like experiential learners? Those are the things that really matter, because unfortunately in a conventional school system, it's sort of a one size fits all. And so, the three things that matter from an educational perspective in homeschooling is obviously the passing on of values, right? So as a believer, as a Christian, we want to pass on Christian values. The other thing is a tailored educational experience where, again, it's not a one size fits all. And, you know, you can grow in certain aspects. You can kind of move quickly through some. And also you can spend more time on areas that maybe they're struggling. And, of course, that last thing is about safety is that, you know, the number one thing that – well, many things. But, you know, one of the things that a child needs is a safe environment where they can learn, where they can flourish, where they can grow, rather than being bullied, picked on, you know, you fill in the blank. And, you know, those are some things that will be – extremely helpful for parents. And so obviously a support group. So there's support groups all over the country and, you know, through the internet and obviously locally.
And I would say that this argument out there, well, what about the socialization opportunities of your kids and getting to interact with other kids and all of those sorts of things? And I don't know about you, but the kind of socialization I see in our schools today, I think there's other ways to do that, right?
Sure. Well, it's funny because I used to hear that argument a long time ago, but it's interesting. A lot of the younger families, I never hear that anymore. I hear that people that are typically 45 and older, like everybody 45 and younger, it's, how do I do that? That's kind of neat. That's kind of cool. How do I do that? And so the socialization, one thing I like to say is, you know, I try to define the terms is, do you mean social skills or do you mean adhering to social norms? And so getting social skills, that happens, you know, on the ball field, at your youth group, at the Boy Scouts, at whatever, you know, the neighborhood kids. So getting social skills and interacting and having relationships, that just doesn't happen in a, you know, an isolated school setting. And, you know, but adhering to social norms, no, in all honesty, I don't want my kids to adhere to the social norms of what I'm seeing out there, because the effects are unfortunately sometimes permanent if they adhere to those social norms. And, you know, I want my kids to be great. Every parent wants their kids to be great to a certain extent. And but you have to teach that. You have to have certain expectations and give them the life skills to achieve, you know, what they've been born to do.
Fascinating stuff. Christopher Chin, thank you so much for taking time to come on our program today. Really glad you were in that article so I could learn about you and to get you on the show. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there today that have benefited from this conversation. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Christopher Chin, president of the Homeschool Louisiana. What say you? Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You know, I wasn't a brainiac by any means in school, and I can't imagine my mom teaching me in homeschooling. She had all kinds of major issues, but I have seen so many kids that have done well, and their families go on excursions, and I also remember, though, when I graduated high school in Kansas City in 1978, that the liberal influences weren't as radical as they are now. Matter of fact, I just don't remember them being there. I was learning math and Spanish and science and biology and, you know, was on the team, was on the swim team, and just did all of those things. And I just didn't experience the kind of challenges that I see many of our kids facing here in today's schools. Well, give us a call, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Mike in Nashville. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Washington Watch.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
What's on your mind?
One of the reasons we homeschool, we've been homeschooling my son since he's been in the second grade, and he's now in the sixth grade. And one of the reasons is because they took the Ten Commandments out of the schools. I think when they took the Ten Commandments out of the schools, that was the decline of the morals of the schools. So we wanted our son to be raised in a Christian setting. So we decided to raise our son. Homeschooling was the best option. And actually, my dad was a school superintendent. My wife, she's a retired school teacher and had aunts and uncles that were school teachers. And it's kind of funny because the first question we get when we tell people that we homeschool is they ask about the socialization of my son. And I said, well, I don't want my son socializing with those people in the school because the lack of morals that they teach in the schools.
Yeah, and how has that been for you, Mike? How's that experience been?
Oh, it's been a great experience for us. My son, he's probably about 2 to 3 grades ahead of what they're teaching, because we can teach to his strengths and what he's lacking in. We can concentrate on that and what he gets. We go on and the experiences that we have, because I travel in construction, and then if there's something that we want to see while we're there, we go and see. Instead of reading it in a book, he experiences it, and that's just a better way to me of life experiences of what he can have versus just reading it in a book. I mean, he's very well read. He loves to go to the library, and he's very open as far as a lot of people think they're sheltered and they're kind of, but he's very open. He knows how to experience with people and how to make friends really quickly and things like that. So it's been a great experience for us and for him, and we see how he can grow versus just being taught in a herd mentality.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate you taking time to call in, and thank you for sharing that experience. And I do want to say, I know there are public school teachers out there that, I mean, you're in the Word, you're a strong believer, and we thank you. Thank you for what you're taking to the classroom and the public schools. And we need you there. I've met a number of teachers that are just solid in the faith and are a blessing to their students in the public schools. And we want to thank you for that. Let's go to Hunter in Lone Star. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. What are your thoughts? Are you homeschooling? Have you thought about it? And also the right to try. Would you be willing to go out there and seek help if you're on the last rung of your life? Hunter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks again. Shabbat Shalom here in a few hours.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, I caught the last half of your interview. I believe was it Dr. Chen was the person.
Christopher. Yes, I don't believe he's a doctor, Chris.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I must just, anyway. We homeschool our two children. Ours are 13 and 11. And what I was telling your call screener is that, when I went through public school, we had all these different subjects that you get, educated on, and that's great. There's a broad education, but for example, the one thing that you get in homeschooling, at least through our homeschooling that we go through, is that it's a Christian-based homeschool. So when we come to history, we're not just learning the history of the world, more importantly, the history of our own nation. And quite frankly, they are learning the history of our nation and our world the way that I was taught my age versus what they're teaching in the school, which is a lot of revisionists. But more importantly, they get that historical education about events that happened in the Bible, And the thing is that they get to understand. And I think that also helps with discipleship that works in conjunction with a local church, in that they are able to learn, hey, these aren't just stories that we're reading about. David was a real ruling monarch of Israel, and for a very long time, so was, and they get to learn that, King Cyrus really was the king of Persia, and, was the king when the Jews were in exile. They get to learn these things that they don't learn in school, because for whatever reason, the schools just cut it off because
right.
They just associate it with religion.
Right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Shabbat Shalom to you, too. Appreciate the phones have lit up on this topic. Thanks, Hunter. Appreciate that. Let's go to Dana in St. Louis real quick. Hi, Dana.
Hi. How are you today?
I am blessed. Thank you.
I am, too. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I have family, friends that have homeschool children, and they are hard workers. They're respectful. They're critical thinkers. They just achieve in everything they do. Some of them have gone to college and school at the same time. At 18, 19, 20, they're in the workforce making top pay because they just excel in everything they do. And they can hold a good conversation.
Yes, I have found that to be very true, Dana. Thank you in Missouri, my home state. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to Pete in Bennettsville, South Carolina. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Ron, it's a great job on the show. And first, I just want to say thank you for bringing up the homeschool topic, because the more it is discussed in public, the more parents will be likely to homeschool their kids. You know, it takes a lot of people, like your concern is a lot of parents may be afraid to do it, you know, to teach their kids. But when you hear about how great it is, like your first call, I think it was George, you thought how wonderful it's been, the experience, and it is. And also, it also brings up at the same time the topic of how bad your government schools are. And this needs a lot more discussion. And I just wish, you know, and the other AFR talk show hosts do bring it up, and it's great, because I think the government schools, I put the word school in quotes there, they have ramped up their agenda ever since the election. They've ramped it. So the rate of decline of the schools into the cesspool of immorality has increased since the election, because they're in panic mode politically, and they want to make sure they indoctrinate kids with socialism, with homosexuality,
right,
transgenderism. Yeah, and we have a book here called Clappers by a woman named Liz.
Real quick, Pete, I have got lots of folks that want to get on, so real quick.
Well, let you go. But thank you, Russ. You did a great job.
All right.
And
thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Carol in Louisiana. Man, this topic, you guys are obviously interested. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I've homeschooled for 20 years, over from like the mid-80s on, and all four children had about 6 years each. They all went to college, made high grades. They all finished college. No loans. I decided to go back to the public school room, and I did that for 14 years, and just quit doing that. Mm-hmm. And then two of my children have started homeschooling theirs.
Wow. Well, good for you, and thanks for sharing, and thanks for calling from down there in Louisiana. That's where our last guest was from, Chris in Enid, Oklahoma. Hi, Chris.
Yes. I'm here.
Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Russ. I was going to comment on your homeschool discussion.
Yes, what's on your... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in a small town place. My dad was a public school teacher and a really good education. I went to college, and I met a girl who had a really great study skills, and she was a homeschooler. I was dead set against it because I thought public school was the best way to go, had a good education. But when I came down to it, she taught me that, you know, the socialization skills is much more than just interacting with the same age group of people your whole life. You're always exposed to lots of different people. And
right.
The fact of the matter is, when you get together with a group of like-minded folks, there's a lot of synergy and a lot of, you get rid of the distractions of agenda and you just get down to true academics, true learning, and you really play to the kids' strengths.
Right. Very good point, Chris, and thanks for calling Washington Watch. I definitely see that when I'm out and about and I see homeschooling groups. Beth, you've got about 15 seconds in Nashville. Real quick.
Hey, I would
real
like
quick
to say we've been homeschooling for 6 years. Try it. It's not hard. Anybody can do it. I almost didn't do it out of fear, and I can't believe all I would have missed out on.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Beth. Thanks for calling. And I leave you with this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. From Joshua 1:9. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And if the creeks don't rise and the Lord tarries, we'll see you on Monday. Tony will be broadcasting live from the Ark Encounter. You've been listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Be well.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.